Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app. Of course, you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalfe, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You miss any of the show, make sure you grab the podcast. Just search Sports Junkies wherever you download your podcasts. All right, we're going to touch on the Hollywood music scene, get in the entertainment page.
Yes, I don't know. I don't think I have the read in front of me. Do you have it, JP?
I do. It is driven by BMW of Fairfax.
DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager. Make sure you mention me, too. Of course, you can check out their entire selection of BMWFairfax.com, all their certified pre-owned and new vehicles. I'm pretty sure my lease is up soon. I need to get on it. I need to talk to Sam Wiener, see what's doing here.
Slinging Sammy.
All right, so first of all, let's do the weekend box office. How to Train Your Dragon.
That probably killed it.
Second week, did $37 million. Must have made about $120 or $30 in the first week. 28 years later... that was second at $30 million. Ellie did $21 million. That's a Walt Disney movie. Lilo, is that how you say it? Lilo and Stitch did $9.7 million so far. That's made almost $400 million in just 5 weeks.
Is the third one you mentioned, is that a, I mean, you said it was a Disney movie. Is Pixar part of Disney?
That
one was like a big bust.
Walt Disney
from
Studios,
what I heard.
It just
Yeah, that's the lowest opening for a Pixar movie ever.
Yeah, 3,700 theaters to only get $21 million. That does sound kind of low in its debut. And then rounding out the top five, I guess Mission Impossible still out there. I do need to see this.
I still haven't seen it.
Maybe this is the week to see it because it's so hot.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right.
It did another $6.5 million. Really, in 5 weeks, it's only made $178 million domestically.
I think it's been a little bit of a dud.
Kind of a dud. And I'm a huge Tom Cruise guy. I think he's the greatest. Just some weird stuff out there in the world. First of all, the Justin Bieber saga continues. You know, he just looks terrible every time you ever see him out in public. And now his wife, Haley, she's walking around everywhere, and she's making it very obvious that she's not wearing her wedding ring. Mm. So she's kind of like being photographed everywhere, and she's got her hand like up here. She's got her hand up here.
Oh, so she's
making it very obvious that at a bare minimum, she's pissed off. Who knows? But, of course, they have a child together. You know, he's a dad now, and he's still kind of like lashing out in public and just doesn't look right. Something's going on with the Biebs.
Fishbucks, you're not a wedding ring guy, right?
I don't wear any jewelry.
You know what?
I used to back in the day, but
could you even find it?
Yeah, it's in my bathroom like cabinet.
You know what I did recently? I took mine off my ring finger because it was bothering me. Like, it's fine, but sometimes I start to get like anxiety because it's hard to take off.
Yeah,
you know, like my hand has to be cold, or because my fingers got a little fatter over almost 30 years.
Right.
And so I just put it on my pinky, way more comfortable. I don't get anxiety. At some point, I'll probably go somewhere and have them just make it a little bit bigger. Just like a sliver bigger.
Right.
Do you ever think about, like, if you wear a ring, does it bother you for years? Then you start thinking about it and you can't get it over your knuckle. All of a sudden, I get anxiety. I can't get it over my knuckle. Now I'm stuck.
Mine's the other way. It's maybe... It's always been too big. I think I had a tweener. And so if you have a tweener, you don't go too tight, got it loose. And I know sometimes when I would go swimming, I like kind of hold my.
Are you afraid you're going to fall off?
Yeah.
I mean, mine's literally worthless. All my boys, they all have like the rubber ones.
Right.
I should just get the rubber one because that's like butt easy.
I mean, everybody knows I'm married.
Yeah. No one cares about you anyway. Nobody.
Right. I mean, why do I need a ring?
Yeah. As long as your wife knows.
My wife loves rings. She'll wear hers 24/7. I don't care.
Yeah, guys, it's different for guys. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just a,
yeah,
it was
you don't
a
get a diamond.
I mean, was a nuisance for me.
I mean, the woman gets a ring that's probably 100 times worth.
Yeah,
more
mine,
than your
mine
ring.
Was 50
yeah, mine,
bucks.
Mine was 50 bucks too.
Right.
I didn't even pick it. It's like, just give me anything.
Right. And then you get your wife something that's five figures.
Yeah, and I definitely didn't have the money for it.
I definitely didn't spend five figures
at the time.
Okay.
It was insured for five figures, but I didn't spend five
right.
figures.
So I found this just to be weird. I'm so annoyed by Jeff Bezos and this Lauren Sanchez. I'm so annoyed
by
them.
What's the story there? Are they married?
So I guess they're getting married soon because now they're like in Croatia on his billion-dollar yacht. And this is just like the world's exploding, and these guys, they're having a foam party. So they're all in their like bikinis, and they're just having like this just, I don't know. Almost looks like they're having a public sex party. They're just having this foam party, and it just bothers me. It just bothers me. First of all, it bothers me that he's on testosterone now. He went from this bookworm to, like, he looks like the Hulk.
I didn't know foam parties were back.
I didn't even know they were ever a thing.
Oh, they were a thing when you were younger.
They were?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been to a foam party?
Yeah, you're in a...
Like, in college?
In college, like
a
frat house,
party.
or even earlier than that, like in Ocean City. You go to H2O, they got a foam party.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been to a foam party. But these just, guys,
I haven't seen a foam party in two decades.
They both have got to be close to 60 years old, right? And they're just having this big foam party. And I don't know why, it just bugs the crap out of me.
I don't begrudge the guy.
I know, dude.
Just trying to have fun.
You know what?
I know.
You know what that screams? Making up for lost time. Like, he didn't go to a foam party when he was younger.
Oh, he definitely didn't when he was younger. He was the biggest nerd ever. Now he's just like this cool guy. I freaking hate him. I really don't like him. I don't know. They also have like a, looks like they have a little mat out there, and they're just hitting golf balls into the ocean. They're just pumping Pro-Vs in the ocean.
Hey, you'd be sized.
Yeah, come on. They're playing all kinds of water games. They have like like American Gladiators, where they have like these I don't know,
jousting,
like, almost like jousting, but they're trying to knock each other off their
like a chicken fight.
Their surfboard or whatever.
Sure.
My son, by the way, is it wake surfing? You ever done that before? Where you just you're being towed, yeah, and it's on like a little board, but your feet aren't strapped in.
Right.
It's like a surfboard, and so you looks butt hard.
Where was that?
Just on the bay.
I was.
Yeah.
Mm.
With his rich friends. They were just, gallivanting around the bay.
All his New York City buddies?
No, these are just actually high school buddies.
Oh.
But they had a great time. Johnny Depp is complaining now after, remember, he was the center of the universe during the Amber Heard trial. We were watching that all the time. Now he's saying he was a crash test dummy for the Me Too movement during his defamation trial against his ex-wife, Amber Heard. So he says, that, I'll tell you what hurts. There are people, and I'm thinking of three, who did me dirty. These people were at my kids' parties, throwing them in the air. And then I guess next thing you know, they're testifying against them. So he's very bitter. What, isn't he doing something now? Isn't he working on something? Like a new movie? I thought I saw that. Sorry, I don't have that for you.
I think he is, yeah.
Diddy, I guess they're just, the trial never ends.
Never.
I still think they're in the prosecution portion of it.
I think so, too.
They're talking about, Valdez gave me the story, and it's almost three pages long. I tried to find the text messages that are being talked about here, where I guess Diddy gave instructions to all the male escorts at his freak-offs. And they have all these text messages that they're using as evidence.
So what were the instructions?
I don't know. I'm struggling to find anything that's particularly bad. It's just kind of like, here, I'm at the door. We stepped out. Come up. I don't know. Just directions to the guy. The thing I did find interesting is jurors were shown pictures of high-powered rifles, bags of ketamine, narcotics everywhere, hundreds of bottles of baby oil, lubricant, many stored in glass cabinets or ornate display boxes. I mean, The baby oil was a big thing for Diddy. But you know, we kind of
have you heard any other big names who attended these parties? Everyone did.
There's been a ton of names.
Yeah,
I think they even dragged some pastor. I guess had to publicly say recently that he was at a party for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was at the before stuff or the after stuff. Who knows? But remember, we talked about when the jurors were shown pictures that some of the females couldn't even look at him, and one guy was locked in, if you remember, looking at the pictures. Pretty darn graphic.
Pictures actually, I think of,
there were videos, actually.
Of?
The freak-off.
The freak-offs. Of, like, it all going down. And...
The defense has still not called any witnesses? Is it still only been prosecution?
I don't think it's been turned over to them yet.
It's going to be another month.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions about the freak-off.
Another month on the EP.
All right, what are your questions?
Well, like, so my guess is, like, there's like an after party to these things, right? Like, there's like a ruse where, like, this is all like a Diddy party.
It used to be like a white party.
Right.
And then
right. Like, he's
then
a notorious.
People would leave later and then it got naughty.
Right. Is that like, that's my assumption. Like, Everyone who gets an invitation to this party isn't going expecting it to be some sort of sex fiasco, eyes wide shut thing, right?
Right. I saw one of the guys, one of these famous actor dudes. He was like, yeah, I went to a Diddy party. It was a white party.
Yeah. And so how do they know, like, if you're at, like,
if you're down?
Yeah, like if you're in the good party or if you're the after party, right?
Everybody's trying to separate themselves from the after party.
Right.
Yeah, I think I saw that too online. Was it Jay Moore or might have been Jay Moore or somebody?
No, it wasn't Jay Moore. It was another guy. It was the guy that was married to the chick that was married to John Stamos, Rebecca Romijn.
Oh, so, yeah, Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah,
he was like, yeah, I went to one. It was a white party.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Then like, how does it turn into this, right?
Yeah, I saw that. He said they had an after party where they went to like a diner or something and he got stuck with the bill.
Right.
And he was like, I'm not paying for this bill because they were ordering Cristal.
Right.
I guess
it
wasn't a diner.
Right.
Yeah,
dude, this is wild. So I just stumbled onto this. There are now photos of Sammy Sosa. And remember, Sammy Sosa, kind of, you know, unbelievable career. You know, got tainted by the whole steroids, whatever. He changed his skin a few years ago, right? Remember?
Yes.
He bleached his skin. He looked like a freaking ghost. He looked wild.
Now he looks normal.
Now he looks like dark skinned again. What happened? Was that just makeup?
He recently went back to a Cubs game, right?
I think, yeah.
And he hadn't been there in a while.
He waved the fans in for his first return to Wrigley Field for the first time since 2004, and he looks normal.
Maybe the drugs he was taking had something to do with it, so now he's off of them?
They say to maintain that appearance he had before, he had to have undergone continuous chemical treatments, which can include potent compounds like hydroquinone or corticosteroids, both of which have long-term effects on the skin.
So maybe
now they're saying it looks like those treatments may have stopped.
Right.
It is natural sort of pigment
comes
is
back.
Coming back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Wild.
Yeah, but you're right. He does look normal now.
He kind of looks normal again. And then last but not least, I don't know if this is true. Could this possibly be true? But they're saying, and I believe this, that Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry are, you know, having trouble. They could be separating. Some are saying that what put it over the edge was the way she reacted to going into space and kind of making a fool of herself publicly. And they say Orlando Bloom was embarrassed. And he said the whole thing looked ridiculous. It was embarrassing.
Filed for divorce because he wasn't supportive?
Well, I don't even know if they filed for divorce yet.
Okay.
They're just saying that the relationship is on the rocks and that it's headed to Splitsville. And what put it over the top was
he didn't give an F about her going into space.
Well, he was embarrassed by all her carrying on, which she was publicly ridiculed for. I don't even know. Would he do that? Would you throw that in her face in an argument?
That has to be other
things.
That's
what they're saying.
There's got
to
be other things.
Yeah. Who knows? All right. When we come back, we have the NBA draft is how many days away?
Two.
2 days
it's
away?
It's Wednesday.
Valdez, do you have the thing where I've rated everybody? I know I did Ace Bailey. I know I can't remember the names of all the guys. I've liked most of them.
You've done Knippel.
Shooter from Texas.
He was okay.
Shooter from Texas.
Hold on.
Trey Johnson.
Yeah. Trey Johnson. I
definitely
liked him.
Trey Johnson. Hold on. Let me bring it up.
You did Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey. And just those three.
And then we talked about the Igor. Russian guy or whatever.
Yeah. You got to put a grade on Igor so we can.
I got to redo him then. Because we just talked about him. But now you want me to do the big man from Duke. And we've been struggling to figure out exactly how to say his name. Jason, how are we going? What are we going
I
with?
I think it's Kaman Malak.
Malak.
But some people are pronouncing Maluak.
Maluak. All right.
But it's either Maluak or Malak.
But he's the big dude from Duke.
He's 7'2". He's a big dude.
That Sheehan wants, right? At least a couple weeks ago, Sheehan was lobbying for him.
I remember somebody on the show was
digging to him. I think it was Sheehan. I'm still, right now, I'm Ace Bailey. If he somehow drops at 6, I don't know how you can't do him. But when we come back, I'll do a commercial break film breakdown. Say his name again, Jason.
Come on. Let's just call him Maluak.
Maluak, big guy from Duke. Don't go anywhere.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Still to come, we have tickets of these commercial break film studies, and you did Ace Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Story with Ace Bailey. He played 1 year at Rutgers. Probably made $3 or $4 million NIL money, because people always wondered, why did he go to Rutgers? And he's skipping out on some of these workouts, which is turning off some of the teams.
So it almost seems like he's intentionally like dumping his stock, maybe because he's targeting a team, or he just is so insulted that like a top three team
would want to see him work out.
That a team outside of the top three would want to see him work out. So
who did you compare him to?
I can't remember. Do you remember who I compared him to?
I don't know if you compared him to anybody.
Did you say Durant?
Maybe Durant.
You said somebody, that wasn't fair to Ace, but you could see Durant.
I mean, he's just so athletic. He's so long. Now, he only measured at 6'7", but he's one of those kids that has like 7 foot wingspan. So he plays a lot longer than his height. I don't know. He just has all the tools. Like that kid, there's no reason why he can't be a star. Somebody said he's a dead ringer for Rashard Lewis's game. Maybe that's a good one.
Yeah.
Why wasn't he better at Rutgers?
He was good. What do you mean? Why?
Solid, but I'm actually just looking at the Big Ten tournament when he played ranked teams. Pretty underwhelming numbers.
In the tournament? Well, for the year, he probably averaged 17, 18, didn't he?
Yeah, averaged 17.6.
Well, the question I threw out last week was, if you have Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, two of the top three prospects, how do you have a losing record?
That's what I'm saying.
If you have two superstars, how do you have a losing record at Rutgers unless the rest of your roster was just garbage? And maybe those guys were just kind of looking out for themselves and just kind of trying to score because they knew they were going to be there 1 year and they're going right to the NBA. So maybe they weren't great team players. I don't know that. I'm just guessing. But if you have two of the top three NBA prospects, you shouldn't be 12 and 17 or whatever they were.
Grab, you said you have some scoop on Bailey.
Well, the Wizards haven't talked to Ace Bailey, right? Mm-hmm. Think about years past, what they've done with the guys they've drafted. They were obsessed with Bub Carrington, bringing him in for last-minute second workouts. Sarr, they were all over him. Koulibaly, we knew that they were very interested in him leading up to the draft. The Wizards draft guys that they have a connection to. Will Dawkins, I'm telling you right now, if Ace Bailey is there at number 6, I don't think they're drafting him. Why? I don't think they have any interest in him. First off, because when players slide, they slide for a reason. Will Dawkins is going to be all over that. He's not going to take a guy who already has potential character concerns or a diva, a me-first guy. He wants a team that he can be a star on. That, to me, doesn't scream Will Dawkins. People might think, oh, we're rebuilding. We can take a shot on a guy. I don't think that. I think the Wizards can't miss this pick, no matter what. Even if it's number 6 and he maybe has a high ceiling, if he has a high bust factor too, They got to stay away from
him. How's he going to bust just from being a bad guy?
Well,
I don't know
Rutgers.
How he can bust.
They have no chemistry.
Yeah, but I don't know how he can bust. The talent's too high.
That happens every year. Every single year, there's guys in the top three. I mean, Otto Porter.
Do we know that the guys they have talked to that are potential top 10 picks?
Yeah, they've talked to Derek Queen. They've talked to Knipple. They've talked to Trey Johnson. Trey Johnson. Right. They've talked to Fears.
What about Maluwach?
I think they have too. I'm not 100% sure on him.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if they haven't talked to him, I would agree with you. They're probably not interested.
Well, I think it's crazy. I think he's going to be a star.
Well, we'll see.
Unless he, gets in trouble.
All right, I'm calling it now. If he's there, they're not drafting him.
This is according to Wizards insider Troy Halliburton. Mm-hmm. The Wizards have a group of prospects they're pondering picking at number 6, but they especially like one of them. Mm-hmm. Although Rutgers star Ace Bailey could be available at that spot, they're big fans of Oklahoma guard Jeremiah Fears.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They're really telling him that? They're saying this is the guy we like?
I'm not the reporter.
Huh?
That's what the Wizards.
He's not
insider
a reporter.
Troy Halliburton.
He's a Wizards fan.
Tyrese's brother.
Tyrese's brother.
All right. Let me tell you what.
What if they don't they really love Bub Carrington?
Yeah, but Bub, I think, is seen as more of a role player than he is like.
So if they drafted Fears, he'd be their starting point.
I think
Carrington would just be, would he be a two or just off the bench? I would think they really like Bub.
I think they like Bub, but I don't think anybody thinks Bub's like a 35-minute-a-game, star. I think Bub's going to have a 10-year, 12-year career, but like role player. I don't know. It's my perception. Maybe I'm wrong.
Or maybe they take Miles.
But I can't believe that
center.
They would just tell everybody who they like. Yeah. I just can't believe it.
You think Will Dawkins is telling
Will's
people who we like?
No, I don't. I don't.
No.
But I don't know how you could pass.
Well, you just
on
said
Bailey.
You knew who they liked before
because if they worked because of who they worked out. That's the only tell you have. I'm telling you, Will Dawkins isn't talking to a Wizards fan from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So they've worked out about 6 or 7. Well, probably more than that.
But they
probably
haven't worked out Bailey
because they got 2 first-round picks.
I mean,
so they're probably working out a bunch of guys.
They probably don't think there's a chance Bailey will be there. Maybe they're gonna have a quick workout now.
Although and that's still possible. I mean, guys,
he's
work
not
out,
doing workouts.
He just guys get one drafted without workouts all the time. Yeah.
They do. And I could be wrong. I'm just saying from what we've seen from Dawkins before and the type, we know what Will Dawkins is looking for. The type of, he's all about team chemistry and guys who work hard and want to be a part of a team. That, to me, is not screaming Ace Bailey.
Yeah, but you don't get that good without working hard. That guy's he's worked hard on his game.
I'm not saying
his
he hasn't. That doesn't mean he's
legit.
Not a
defense.
It doesn't mean he's not a team. He's a team player.
I'm just saying if you have Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey in your team,
you should go above 500.
You should have 20 wins minimum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I don't know what Steve Peichel was doing, the head coach of Rutgers. Maybe he was just letting them kind of call the shots. But if you have two of the top three or four prospects, I think they had 15 wins, 12 or 15 wins.
All right, so let me give you a breakdown of Maluwach now. For those of you that haven't watched a lot of Duke, I didn't watch a lot of Duke. I mean, of course, I'm familiar with the guy, but I don't watch much. He's from the South Sudan, okay? He's 7'2". He's a massive human being. He's 250 pounds. Plays center. He's, he's a 5. I don't see him. He doesn't shoot threes.
No.
Everything is an oop, okay? They like him because, he can run. He can jump. And most importantly, he can catch. So his deal is, now I've, had a commercial break to break it down. His deal is he basically sets a high screen and he rolls. He might set a high screen and then another screen and then he rolls to the basket and they
Flagg
throw him an oop.
And Knupel, all they did was throw him oops.
They throw him oops and that's all he does. But to his credit, he catches it and he finishes.
That's what he does.
Now, there's not much more than that. Manute Bol developed a 3-point shot. So maybe he will. Who knows? But right now, he's a big finisher at the rim. He's a shot blocker. He's athletic. He can catch. He seems to have good timing. He seems to have a good feel for the game. I saw he had a couple assists, in the highlight package. It's hard for me to imagine taking him at 6 if I'm the Wizards.
Sheehan
loves him.
He didn't take more than 8 shots in one game.
I mean, he averaged 8 points and 6 rebounds.
I think
and my
depends.
Guess is that's probably what he's going to average at the next level.
Yeah, doesn't it depend on what you see Saar as?
I think so, yeah.
Like,
well,
if you draft this
got
guy,
a more
then
complete game.
I know, but my point is, and you can do it. But do you see Saar as a four, or do you see him as a five? Is he a center, or is he a power forward?
I think he's a stretch five, but probably truly
so
a four.
Too. Yeah. I think in modern probably, day NBA, he's probably a five.
But a stretch Saar? Five.
Yes. Yes.
Because he's going to take threes. This kid's not.
So you right. don't think they could coexist?
No, you can. It's just not the model that current teams are doing. Doesn't mean it wouldn't work. There are some teams that have gone big.
It's hard for me to get excited.
Memphis took Zach Edey, who was the best player in college for a couple years. And
yeah, but he had like a developed post game. It was a traditional.
I know, but my point is he didn't average a ton of points.
Right.
So when you have guys who are kind of one dimensional,
but he had a big tournament. Didn't he have a big tournament, Edey?
No, he means in
the pros. No, I'm talking about in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I'm not giving up on Edey. I mean, he was just a rookie, but. When you draft kind of a one-dimensional guy, I mean, matchups could be a problem.
I just think he's that's just got to be the right fit for your roster.
If you really want that defensive presence in the middle, okay.
If you think, hey, we're going to run a lot of these screen and rolls and get oops and
I mean, look, OKC just won it.
Protect the basket.
And at times they go big with Hartenstein who starts and then Chet. But then there are other times when some of those guys are off the court and it's like Jalen Williams is playing their five.
Yeah.
Put it this way. He's never going to be your star. He's always going to be a role player. Maybe he'll be a role player on a championship team, but he's never going to be a star.
Right.
Never.
So the question I would have then is if you were to go with that model, do you think that Saar can develop into like that dog that's going to give you 25 points a game? Because eventually they're going to need one of these guys. I don't think it's going to be Bilal.
No.
Could Saar be that guy? And maybe he can be.
Well, Saar's
where he's a number one option.
I think Saar can average 20 a game. But I don't know that Saar can average 30. I don't know that he's that guy. I think he can average 20.
But you probably need to find one of those guys.
Yeah.
He could be this kid.
Although, you know, if you watch the Indiana Pacers just made it all the way to game 7. I think their leading scorer this year was Pascal Siakam. He wasn't like a 30 points a game guy. They spread it out, spread the wealth.
Right. Yeah. But he can't even do all the things Siakam could do. Like, you can't even compare Malawi to Siakam.
No, but what I'm saying is that maybe Saar can be that guy. Like, to me, you can afford Malawi if you believe that Saar is going to really develop into a star player.
I think Saar is going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be pretty darn good.
He definitely has a chance.
Yeah. You want to get a grade?
But Maluach could be this year's Donovan Klingon.
Klingon could do more, though.
Mm.
Maybe he could step out a little bit further, but he was basically a defensive player.
Yeah. 68.2. Don't get sized.
Oh, okay.
He's a role player, man. That guy's never going to average double-digit anything.
68.2?
He's not a star. He could be a starter on a championship roster, maybe.
Sure, like Perkins was with the Celtics back in the day.
He's a role player. This guy's a role player. He's the one role. Screen role. That's it. Get a couple rebounds, maybe block a shot or two.
I think I'm kind of with you that it would be a dud if they drafted him.
I don't want anything to do with him.
Who are your lowest rated so far? I can't remember what you gave Knipple.
He is the lowest rated. Knipple is 78.3.
Knipple's like can
and who's
do
the highest rated so far?
Ever
kid
or this
from
year?
Texas? No,
this year.
Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey. I love Ace Bailey's game.
Did you like the kid from Texas? I remember.
I liked him too. Yeah, but I need to see him again.
Yes,
he was 92.7.
I like him.
So what was Ace? Damn,
94.6.
Oh wow, you love Ace Bailey,
dude. He's got it all. There's nothing he can't do. There's nothing you can't do.
I just wonder, kind of like Jason, like why did he lose winning
the Big
games?
Ten? Can't do that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he got bad coaching.
No, I think Pikel's a good coach. He's just something.
I don't know.
Something didn't mesh between those two.
Yeah,
Harper and
maybe those guys. Do those guys not like each other?
I hadn't heard that.
I don't know.
How's he on defense?
Didn't see a lick of defense.
he was just on.
But defense is all effort. Like, he's athletic. I mean, if he wants to play defense, it just depends. Can you motivate him to play defense, I guess?
Sports Illustrated has a mock draft with Ace Bailey going 11.
Whoever gets him is getting a star. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how you could not take him.
Yeah, why is he dropped?
Nobody plays defense almost, in the NBA. The NBA
almost everything I saw, say, a month ago had Ace Bailey going number
two.
That's
the whole reason why the Thunder won the title is their defense.
They do have good defense. I agree. They do have good defense. But on the whole, nobody plays defense.
Well, you can't say it's the only reason. It definitely is a separator. They also have a guy.
They also have MVP in league scoring.
They have a great defense.
They do have a great team defense.
And Chet was big time in the second half last night.
But on the whole, nobody plays defense in the NBA. Yeah. I guess maybe a little bit in the playoffs. You know, I don't know. Ace Bailey would be my guy.
23 turnovers.
Well, the NBA champ plays defense.
Yeah, I know. But you know, the NBA, they don't play defense. On the whole, they don't play defense. Maybe OKC does in the playoffs.
Did you see SGA is only the fourth player ever to win a scoring title, win an MVP, and win an NBA title in the same year? Only three other players have done that.
Who are the other guys?
I guess.
Like Jordan. Kobe.
Jordan's one. Nope.
LeBron.
LeBron. I don't know if it was LeBron. A scoring title.
Maybe Kareem.
Kareem was one.
Yeah, okay.
Kareem. God, how am I spacing the third guy?
Shaq. Who won scoring title.
Oh, yeah, it was Shaq. Sorry.
MVP.
That was Shaq.
And won a championship.
Yeah, Shaq.
There you go.
Right. Fourth guy ever to do that.
Right.
That's how good a year you
had. Unbelievable year.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
No, I'm telling you right now, if Ace Bailey was there, I would take him.
I can't wait till Wednesday.
Yeah.
I can't wait till he's there at 6 and they go, and the Wizards select Kaman Maluwa.
What a dud. What a dud. Total role player.
He's not going to take some French guy that we have no idea who he is.
And they can't take Knipple. He's way too boring. Can't take
him.
Well,
to me... I hate doing that comparison, the white and white, but isn't he Corey Kispert-ish?
Corey Kispert, they had circles around him, like way more athletic than him.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So I saw this story on Bro Bible, and I got a kick out of it. The headline is, people are beginning to wonder if Aaron Rodgers is pulling a Manti Te'o with new wife. And here's what they say. Nobody's seen his wife. He showed up, and he had a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, what's the ring? And he's like, oh, I got married. And they say he married a woman named Brittany. Now, this report is questionable because they... ask his brother about it, and supposedly they have a strained relationship.
Yeah,
but his brother was asked about it.
I thought it was getting better. But
I think that maybe his parents came to a game of his last year.
Mm-hmm.
But his brother says he knows nothing about the woman. And then I guess the reporter did some sort of deep dive, and so there's no actual record of the marriage available to the public. And I don't know how easy that is to find. Like I don't know that I could find your marriage record.
I'm sure somebody could. Maybe he didn't get legally married, you know? I know some people that just got married in Rome, and the woman is still married.
Oh.
Still married.
That's weird. Oh,
she never got divorced?
Well, they're in the process of it, but they just wanted to get married to the new dude. So she's technically still married.
So people think that he's just effing with everybody? Just effing with the media? Saying,
I mean, look, Aaron, it's clickbait article. Aaron Rodgers gets clicks. I found it amusing. But I guess people are like, who is this woman? Nobody's seen her.
All right, well,
he's Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe he just doesn't want to put her out there.
Valdez, just a side note. Somebody sent me a tweet about this, and he says, EB, the reason why you're having trouble sleeping, insomnia is a common side effect of alcohol withdrawal.
Are you going through withdrawal?
Well, I have no symptoms, but if you stop drinking alcohol... your body is used to it, you know, and you're
kinda
used to drinking.
You to sleep.
I always said part of the reason why I would drink at night
at
is
night, yeah.
It would make me fall asleep.
Well, yeah,
everybody say, oh, it's terrible for you. I don't know, it might be terrible for you, but it put me to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go to sleep. And they say it could take, so they say it's very common, insomnia after quitting drinking.
Did you notice?
That's probably what I'm going through.
I'll buy it.
And they say it could take anywhere from a month to 6 months.
Ooh. Well, you ain't going 6 months without drinking.
Yeah, that's unlikely. I'm just doing it.
Did you notice when you would take 3, 4, 5 days off of drinking? Not 23. I don't know the last time you did that.
Yeah, I don't either.
But did you notice when you were taking like a week off that you were having trouble sleeping?
I don't know. I don't know if I put two and two together. Yeah. To be honest with you. I'm assuming this might be what it is.
I'll buy that, though.
I'm assuming this what might be it is. I've never had this much trouble sleeping.
I feel like you buy into a lot of theories, much like you threw that graffiti theory at the funeral.
I mean, I'm reading a whole article about it.
No, I'm not saying it's
impossible. Alcohol withdrawal causes insomnia.
I think you're in your head a little bit. That once you go to bed, you're thinking like and your mind starts racing in a million directions because you've tried all these things. You had a couple bad nights sleep. It's like a pressure.
I'm telling you, it's not that deep. I go to bed and I'm just lay there like I always do. And my wife says I fall asleep for like 2 minutes.
Are you exhausted? Do you go to sleep when you're exhausted?
I mean,
like if you didn't go to lay down, like if you weren't looking at a clock.
I go to bed because I need to go to bed.
Right.
But I'm always tired. Alcohol is a depressant. It's intoxicating effect of the body stems from the central nervous system being slowed down. Alcohol slows breathing, a heart rate, reduces anxiety, relieves pain, makes you drowsy. But when you stop drinking, then all of a sudden now you don't know how to go back to sleep. Now you're in a whole pickle.
See, I mean, you're
and they say people, you know what? People, see, then they start drinking again because they can't sleep.
Here's my point though: you're stressing about sleep now. And I get it. You had an awful night's sleep. That stress is going to carry over till the moment that you lay down in bed tonight at 10 o'clock or whenever you go to bed. Hey, you're not relaxed.
I'm telling you.
You're tense.
It's not that deep. I'm hoping I'm going to fall asleep. I'm trying not to stress about it until like maybe midnight. Then I start getting stressed. What? Why are you laughing at me?
Pour yourself an open road bourbon tonight.
I'm just going to pour myself a drink and go back to sleeping good.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
That's what I would do.
This is so dumb. I just want to detox my liver a little bit.
Okay, well you did it for 25 days.
Well, has it been checked? Is your liver?
I don't need to check it.
Was it okay? If it's fine, then
it
go
was
back
fine
to drinking.
Before. I just thought, yeah, you probably should detox a little bit. I was playing golf.
Okay, you detoxed Michael Jordan days, right? He's 23.
Yeah, no, I think I feel like I need to go a full month. Don't people do like sober October or whatever? I got to do a sober June.
Dry January.
Dry January.
Yeah. Yeah. What do they call the February? Since the February is the shortest month, what do they call that?
I don't know. Do people do
flea
that too?
February or something? I don't know.
But people try to do it in February just because it's the shortest month. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's been the world's easiest thing to do, but it's not been easy if this is a part of it. This is part of it. It's been devastating.
Speaking of golf.
I have a couple surf sides tonight.
Speaking of golf, Valdez is playing golf today in 104 degrees. Yeah. I don't know how he's doing it.
Right.
But he's going up to caves for the member guest. No, I'm sorry, not the member guest. The media day.
Media day for the BMW.
But yesterday, you know, and I know there's only a handful of people out there listening now who care. But Tommy Fleetwood, who has never won on U.S. soil. He's never won on the PGA Tour. He's won 7 or 8 times on the European Tour.
And he's a notorious, great guy. Everyone loves Tommy Fleetwood.
He's been on the Ryder Cup team a bunch. He's been a really good Ryder Cup player for the Euros. But he has never won on U.S. soil. And he's got a one-pop lead at the Travelers yesterday in Connecticut. Keegan Bradley. He's playing with Keegan Bradley. Keegan Bradley's the defending champ. Everyone loves Keegan up there.
At one point, he had a 2-shot lead.
At one point, he had 2, right. Yeah. But going into 18, he had a 1. And everyone loves Keegan up there because he's from the Northeast.
The Ryder Cup captain.
Also the Ryder Cup captain.
USA, going
against Englishman and Ryder Cup stud Tommy Fleetwood. So you kind of had a Bethpage preview.
Correct. So Bradley hits his drive right down the middle. Fleetwood hits his drive right down the middle. And then Fleetwood's sitting there talking to his caddy about the clubs on the second shot. He had 147 yards, and he gives the club back. So they decide, I don't know if it was Fleetwood's decision or the caddies, but he decides to hit the wedge instead
like
of the nine.
It looked like it was Tommy's decision. I think he probably thought, I have a lot of adrenaline
here. I can muscle it up.
I'll probably pump this.
Yeah. So he hits the wedge, and it comes up short, way left. He's barely on the green on the left side. He had about a 55-footer.
That's a guaranteed three-putt for this guy.
Keegan smokes it to about 6 feet. And so, obviously, he's got to hope Keegan misses, and he's got a two-putt.
Well, because he three-putted.
He three-putts it, but Keegan makes the birdie, and he loses.
It's over.
It's over, and he's still has not won.
It's been like I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years or so where people have been kind of rooting for Tommy Fleetwood. Maybe the last four or five.
I just felt bad for him because I knew how much it meant to him, and he just completely choked it away.
Yeah. And he's known for
it. Well, the other guy earned it, too, because you're saying that he got a birdie on the last hole?
Oh, for sure.
Well, yeah, but even if he birdies it and Fleetwood pars it, they're going to a playoff.
Right. So at least, but I probably would have bet on Keegan because he was surging and he was just...
Well, it would have been a three-way playoff, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, because Henley chipped in.
Pretty it would have
been a three-way. They were all 14.
Yeah.
But I just felt bad for Fleetwood, man, because I can't imagine what that night was like last night.
Well, Valdez is all up in he's all angry now that Keegan may pick himself on the team because he can't be captain and play. Well, it's impossible.
No, I think I could do 4 hours on it, but we got to go.
All right, maybe we'll bring it up this week. We got nothing
all
else,
right, we
got
to get out of here. Coming up next, it's the B. Mitch and Finley Show. Here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.